and you're on the front porch. Governor Jim Justice has declared a state of emergency in West Virginia's jails. What's going on and what can we do about it? Also, we'll look ahead to the West Virginia legislative session. Are they going to be quite so active as they were last year? We will debate and we'll talk about some big issues we see on the horizon. I'm Scott Finn, Grand Poobah here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm joined by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Jessie Troyan. She's an economist with the Free Market Cardinal Institute here in West Virginia.
How's it going?
It's going good. The jails are in serious, serious trouble here in West Virginia. Despite the fact that people in the jailing system received a $1 an hour raise in September, they're still paid only about $24,600 a year on average as a starting salary. That is one of the lowest rates in the country. It is not uncommon for someone who starts out in our system, in our jailing system, to only last 8 months before they end up moving on to a better job. That's led to huge shortages. And what the governor did in this order is two things. One, he authorized the West Virginia National Guard to help staffing at our jails. And number two, he allowed employees to carry over unused vacation time because there's been so much mandatory overtime that people have not been able to use up their vacation before the end of the year.
Again, it's a crisis that extends to like our regional jail system, the prisons, which are under the Department of Corrections, juvenile justice facilities under juvenile services. So in all those cases, extremely high-stress jobs, very low pay, high turnover. And one thing that was really bad is that workers had to do overtime so much that they weren't even able to take their leave because at the time the state had a use-it-or-lose-it policy.
Well, I think this is something that maybe Rick and I are going to have a lot more in common. It's this broader crisis in our criminal justice system. Are we putting people in jail that we're legitimately afraid of versus putting people in jail that we're mad at?
A lot of people are in jails who are really low risk, and so they're backed up. They're filling the jails. So you have people who should be in prisons in jails because there's a backlog, and they can't sometimes they can't get the services they need to be eligible for parole because they might not have the capacity in the jails. And then, I mean, it's crazy. So I think if I could, the plumbing analogy, I think that works really well in this case when you look at the whole carceral system. Is there's a huge pipeline and there's a small drain. So one thing we need to do is make the pipeline smaller, consistent with public safety, and the drain bigger. And then you'll have more humane conditions for the people in it and the people who work there.
What are some of the things that we ought to be doing, in your opinion, Rick, that we're not doing yet, that you want the legislature and the governor to tackle?
In the next legislature, I hear there's some interest in bail reform, especially, you know, people who are really low risk who just can't afford bail, you know, that are clogging up, if we can have some way to do that. Alternative sentencing for people who are low-risk, nonviolent offenders. Also making it easy to reenter. There are a lot of occupations. We've talked about that before here. You can't enter, like landscaping or certain things if you have a felony conviction. You know, we could strengthen the Second Chance for Employment Act.
So that's the pipeline issue. I want to talk a little bit about the employee issue, too. So, you know, the starting wage went up from $10.87 to $11.87 an hour. That's about $24,600 a year, apparently not enough. Jessie, how do we find the money to make sure that we have enough people staffing our prisons?
One of the ways that you can entice people into working hazardous jobs, risky jobs, is to pay them more. And there is a valid question here of just straight up, are we paying people enough to want to go into that line of work? But again, you're right. Where's that going to come from? Is it going to be an overall tax raise throughout, you know, all of our economic activity? Is it going to come at the expense of some other program in the state that maybe we shouldn't be funneling tax money towards?
You know, it's like if you take all the gas out of your car and act surprised because you don't have a full tank, you know, that's the way with revenue. I mean, do you want to be a failed state where you can't keep teachers, where you can't even have people protect public safety? You know, at some point you need to make decisions. We need a budget as good as the people who live here.
There's another thing I want to talk about really quickly, which is there was this case of Todd Wayne Boynes. And Todd Wayne Boynes was a person that was accused of attempted murder. It involved stealing a car in Ohio and driving it across state lines into West Virginia and ending up in a crash not too far from your stomping ground in Pinch, right? Remember this?
That is correct. And it's of little surprise to me that was where his car chase ended. Because if you've ever driven very far out Quick Road, if you don't know that road, it's very easy to wreck. Not a place where you would want to pursue a high-speed chase.
You know, who said we never told you anything useful? If you're in a high-speed police chase, do not go up Quick Road. But anyway, he did, crashed into a police deputy, ended up in South Central Regional Jail. And on 6 a.m. on a Wednesday this summer, walked out. Through a chain of events, he managed to escape from South Central Regional Jail and was not discovered missing for more than 36 hours. When the jail officials finally realized, wait a second, where's Todd Wayne Boynes? So that's just one sign of this crisis. It's not just theoretical. It's not just affecting the people that are in the prisons and jails or the people that have to work there. It's affecting us. Now, they did catch Todd Wayne Boynes when he tried to cross the Mexican border just a couple of months ago.
Mexico needs to build a wall. Make America pay for it. Bad.
Anyway, so we caught Todd Wayne Boynes trying to cross the border. That thing, you know, run for the border, it only works with Taco Bell. It does not work with fleeing, apparently. One other interesting thing about that is three of the people that worked at South Central that were involved in his escape, not directly, apparently. I don't think they helped. I think it was just through mostly, it sounds like, you know, mistakes or negligence being alleged against them. But they're being charged with a crime. They're being charged with the misdemeanor of allowing a prisoner to escape, which I didn't even know existed. What do you think about that, Rick? Is that a good way to attract new people into the correctional
industry? Well, that's the thing. If you have a system that's already overcrowded and understaffed, it's a recipe for things like this to happen or for violence or other things to happen. And then if you're in an untenable situation and you can be punished for not being able to deal with it when you don't have the resources, then, yeah, that's a tough employment ad, I think, you know?
Yeah, come work for the West Virginia Regional Jails, you know, low pay, long hours, dangerous conditions, and if someone escapes under your watch, you could be charged with a crime. Rick, what's your Bible verse and or word of wisdom for the week?
Oh, I'm just thinking, going back to the people who are working in the system, you know, Jesus said the worker is worthy of his wage. You know, if you're going to put people in really difficult situations, they need to be compensated for it. Meanwhile, we need to, you know, get fewer and fewer people in there.
And that's Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. He was joined by Jesse Troy, an economist from the Free Market Cardinal Institute here in West Virginia. Thank you again, Jesse.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Front Porch. Stay warm out there.